we may see, that from the scriptures that we have already heard read, from what we will read, from what we will look at for a few moments, that you would continue to point us to your Son, who was hanging on a tree, carrying the sins of the world, yet caring for his mother at the same time, for all to see. Father, we see him, and we desire to learn more from your word this evening. In the next few moments, we ask that you would bless our time in the word, in Christ's name. Amen. The text that Keith and Angela just read finishes in this way. The last few verses of John 19 in this segment says, "Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken." And another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. What do the comic strip Batman, that was an awkward transition into a comic strip, but what do the comic strip Batman, the author P.G. Woodhouse, the cartoon The Jetsons, and the TV series Downton Abbey all have in common? I'll tell you, they all have an incredible butler, maid, or valet. All of them. Who served their family or their master well. Whether it was Alfred, Jeeves, Rosie, or Mr. Carson, they all were the utmost professionals, anticipating the needs of their master. They often knew what their boss needed before the boss knew it. Their masters were well served by them. And while the show or book was not ultimately about the butler or maid, it would not have been the same without them. These servants were the unsuspecting heroes who served selflessly, not making it about themselves, who bought into the higher mission of the family or their boss. And there was never a thought that they would overthrow their boss or sabotage their master. Their life and goal were about making others' lives better. They were great servants. But none of them were called on to give their life for their master. Instead, they all, except for Rosie, because she was a robot, aged alongside the master or family that they served. Some of them got married and retired. And they might have been willing to die for those they served, but their creator, their writer, never put that into the script. And that's what makes Jesus in the story of Good Friday so incredible. As we've heard, he came to serve sinners. He came as a servant with the mission of dying for those who put him to death. He submitted himself to the will of the crowd. He willingly allowed himself to be killed by those who lied about him, who manipulated others, who tried to thwart the plan of God. Isaiah 52, verses 13 and 14 says, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind." This servant, the Lord says in Isaiah, will be high and lifted up, exalted. However, as a servant, he will not remain that way, but will be so marred in appearance that no one looking at him would think this could be a human being anymore. It will be astonishing, Isaiah prophesies. And Paul confirms that this is indeed what happened to God's servant, Jesus. When writing to the church in Philippi, he tells them to be like Jesus in the way that they think of others, the way they serve others more significant than themselves. He says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He, Jesus, was in the form of God, high and exalted in heaven, where he had been for all of eternity past. Then he comes to earth, taking the form of a servant, healing people on earth. Even when he entered Jerusalem, just a few days before being hung on a cross, he entered as a king. Yet Jesus was a servant. He was a servant king, a humble servant king, a humble and suffering servant king. Jesus came and died as a servant. He entered as a king and died as a servant. A servant gives themselves to others. Jesus gave himself to the will of his Father. A plan that, in fact, he had planned with God in eternity past. And Jesus gave himself to his disciples, men who couldn't stay awake with him for an hour on the night when he was betrayed and arrested. And he gave himself as a servant for the lives of those who arrested him and beat him and who cried out for his death. He served them all so well, his disciples and followers, by anticipating what they would need for eternity. And that is the redemption he was going to provide. He died that they might live. It makes no sense for the holy God, maker of heaven and earth, to give his life for us. None at all. We didn't ask for it. We didn't know to ask for it. It was already done by the time we were born into existence. But he knew what we would need before we knew we ever needed it. And even on the cross, as Angela just read, Jesus served his mother well by entrusting her to the care of his disciple. In his last moments, he cared for his mother. He cared for his disciples in the last days of his life by teaching them that he is the only way, the truth, and the life, that no one can come to the Father except through him. He taught them about the Holy Spirit who will come when he has to leave. He told them that if they do what he says, then they are his friends. He warned them before going to the cross that the world will hate them. And then he told them not to fear, because he has overcome the world. Jesus came to serve us. Why do we gain anything from his death at all? Because Jesus willingly, humbly died as a servant to care for the needs of others. Charles Wesley wrote about this in 1738. As he penned the lines, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? amazing love, Wesley wrote. That's what marks a servant. Among the other things that we've mentioned, love for the ones that they are called to serve. That's exactly what Jesus did to the end, perfectly, fully. It was finished on the cross. Your redemption, my redemption, accomplished and only awaiting application. All that the scriptures would be fulfilled, God fulfilled them at that time. God said he would do it, and he did. And so do we feel the glory of Jesus serving us by going to the cross for us? He came to seek and to save the lost, and he did just that. His mission to earth was not tourism, fact-finding, R&R. It was all that the glory of God would be seen in the saving of others through his death, even to those who put him to death because of their sins. Before Charles Wesley wrote his hymn, "And Can It Be," Jacob Revius wrote a poem called "He Bore Our Griefs." And there he says, no, it was not the Jews who crucified, nor who betrayed you in the judgment place, nor who Lord Jesus spat in your face, now who with buffets struck you as you died. No, it was not the soldiers fisted bold who lifted up the hammer and the nail, or raised the cursed cross on Calvary's hill, or gambling tossed the dice to win your robe. I am the one, O Lord, who brought you there. I am the heavy cross you had to bear. I am the rope that bound you to the tree. The whip, the nail, the hammer, and the spear. The blood-stained crown of thorns you had to wear. It was my sin. Alas, it was for me. Brothers and sisters, may we feel the full weight this evening that it's our sins that made Jesus die on the cross to save us. My sins, your sins, caused his suffering and pain, his anguish and death. But also, let the full weight of the Son of God coming to serve us, knowing all we had done and will do. He didn't have a blind eye, nothing was swept under the rug. We were all exposed and standing before him. But he came, knowing all of that, and died for us. And let that move us to awe and wonder, gratitude to our Savior, to the one who died giving his life for us, and commit our lives to serve the servant king, to serve him, however he calls us to, whatever he wants of us, for as long as we have breath in this life. Jesus entered as a king. He died as a servant. And on Sunday morning, we will see how he was raised as a Savior. Father, would you teach us how to